So, this morning we are continuing with our Christmas series, Follow the Star, Discovering God Through Christmas. So this is the theme where we are focusing on the journey of the Magi, the wise men, and their journey in following the star and what we can take from that into our lives today and how we can discover God through that story. So last week, Jamie introduced the series and that was called Lift Up Your Eyes. And Jamie was sharing about these magi, the wise men who were diviners. They were magicians, astrologers, people who the Jews would have considered dangerous, dark, and probably not part of God's story for Israel. But actually, these people who are seemingly very outside of Israel's story are actually being invited into the heart of it. And because they were ardently searching for God, it then encourages us to think more widely about who's included in God's story. And Jamie was sharing about how when we search for Jesus, we find God. And when we search for God, we find Jesus. I won't share any more of that. You can actually listen to it online. I'm not going to do all the hard work for you if you missed that. But please do listen back to that. So this week, week two, get a move on. You can tell I'm leaving. I can just be really blunt now. And so I can just say what I want and then I can just drop the mic at the end and walk out. And this week is called Get a Move On. We're going to be looking at the story of the Magi and considering what the reality of following actually looks like and what is required when we talk about following Jesus in light of this story. But first, we've got the story. So I'm going to share all of it this morning, the journey of the Magi. So in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem, in Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means last among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of him went the star that they had seen in the east, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." So a story that we all know very well, to varying degrees at least. And we're going to be drawing the particular theme of following from this passage. So there is lots in the Bible about following Jesus. We have a few of those verses here. So we have Matthew 24, Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." 1 Peter 2, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps." Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And finally, John 10, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Those are the words of Jesus again. So we use the language of following Jesus quite freely. We talk about following Jesus quite a lot within church. But what I'm posing to us today is perhaps that can be quite watered down in our society and within our churches too. And we're going to consider how the story of the Magi highlights how the term to follow needs reevaluating. So there's a few different things that I've drawn from this passage. The first of those is about being receptive. So being receptive means being ready to receive new ideas. It's about being open-minded. So if we actually really think about the context of the Magi, Jamie touched on this last week as well. These ancient Magi, they were people reputed to be adept at astrology, as well as various occult arts, such as astrology, interpretation of dreams, fortune telling, and magic. So they were pagans. They were of a different religion. They were Gentiles. And as I shared earlier, they were viewed as about as far away as possible from the God of Israel by the Jews. Yet, how did these people, however many of them there were, we don't know that there were three necessarily, but how did they come to know that the star signified the birth of a Jewish king? Well, perhaps they actually read some of the scriptures, and they knew of the prophecy in Numbers that said, "A star shall come out of Jacob." And they also quoted scripture to Herod as well. So somehow God communicates to the Magi. And that might seem surprising. It might have seemed very surprising for the Jews at the time. For the Jewish people back then, it would have seemed impossible to imagine God choosing to work through these Magi. And what's actually even more surprising is that not only did God choose to communicate to them, but that actually they were ready and receptive to that message. And the Bible is full of stories of God and Jesus communicating to the unlikeliest of people and them then responding to the call. So we have Moses, the murderer, who hides in the desert, but then is called to have the Israelites follow him out of Egypt. We have David, the youngest brother, who is called to become king of Israel. We have Mary, the young woman with no voice in a patriarchal world, called to give birth to the Son of God. We have Mary, who was a prostitute, compelled to wash Jesus' feet with expensive perfume. We have Zacchaeus, the hated tax collector, who's receptive to Jesus' call and gives back all he has taken and more. And as Christians, we expect to hear from God more, perhaps, than other people who wouldn't consider themselves to be followers of Christ. But actually, in so many stories in the Bible, there's people you wouldn't expect to hear from God, who actually not only hear from God, but they are then receptive enough to decide to act on it. And the Magi, for all of their pagan ways, they were open-minded enough to hear from God, and they were ready to respond to it. Before Hannah and I moved down here, I was a minister in training in Haworth, a little village in Yorkshire. And about a year into my time there, I was up there for 3 years, there was a woman who came along to use the church building for a charity event. And she didn't have any church or faith background at all. But she was just really touched by the fact that the church offered the room for free for her because it was a charity event. So she kind of just felt like she ought to come along to church the next Sunday to kind of show her face and tick that box, really. But actually, she just loved coming along on the Sunday, and it was just really great how receptive and open-minded she was. And it was a long story, but actually, over the course of a few years after she started coming along to the church, she was actually a deacon, a leader in the church. She went on this whole journey over those few years, and she's still a leader in the church today. And there were Christians in that church who had been members for a long time who weren't leaders for various reasons. But actually, she's someone who had come in a short period of time and was just so receptive to hearing about God, so receptive to the work that the church was doing in the community, that she kind of just dived in head first and was just really embraced in that as well. And she was just ready to receive and ready to act. And it was a humbling experience to witness that and be a part of that as well. So it's a question to us, really, of how ready are we to hear from God? Christians, at times, we can be closed-minded about many things. And perhaps having that outlook means that we can close ourselves off to actually even hearing from God himself and responding to God too. And it doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian for. To follow Christ means that we need to be ready to receive. So I wonder for us, what does that mean for us this morning, for us to be ready to receive what God has to say to us? Or maybe to think about those people that we know, friends, family, who wouldn't proclaim themselves as followers of Jesus, but actually, might they be more receptive than we first anticipate? Might we be judging that wrong? And actually, if they hear that message, they might be much more open than we first anticipated. So that's the first one, being receptive. But what does it mean to follow? What do we think society's understanding of following is? Well, I typed into Google I typed follow into Google and kind of just expected to see some images of someone following someone else. But actually, this is what came up. Every single, you probably can't see it very well on there, but every single image that came up was all about clicking follow. That's kind of just what came up for every single image as I was just scrolling down. How naive of me, really. But actually, for society, the concept of following someone or something means to basically to opt in to them coming up on your newsfeed. That's what it kind of boils down to a lot of the time. Or maybe at best, it might be to go and see someone in a show, maybe to go and see a band at a gig, or maybe going to see the football team you follow at a match. But a lot of the time, we'll maybe stop at listening to just some of their songs on Spotify, or maybe reading a match report about how they lost again. That's if you support West Brom anyway, or England for that matter. But actually, society's understanding of following, it's really, a lot of the time, very passive. It doesn't talk about participation. It's more about something that you kind of casually opt in for. So what about us Christians? What about us high and mighty Christians? What about our understanding of following? We must have it right. Well, we use it so much in our language, don't we, about following Jesus. But a lot of the time, I think we possibly equate following to believing, and we use those words synonymously. We think that following Jesus is essentially about believing in Jesus. Perhaps that it's about praying the prayer, believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Boom, job done. Nice one. You're a signed up follower of Jesus now. That actually being a follower of Jesus is to have a faith. And maybe ideally to go along to church as well, to show others that you believe as well. And we do talk about the need to be disciples, to be followers of Christ. But actually, so much of the time, it does still end up boiling down to whether we believe or not. And that's kind of the benchmark of whether you're a follower of Christ. And of course, believing is a big element of it. But I think we're missing something massively if we just stop there. Perhaps we feel if you read your Bible occasionally and you pray sometimes that that's a bonus. But as long as you believe, then you're an official follower. You've clicked on the tick of Jesus' Facebook page. So if we put that into the context of the Magi story, if we were to imagine the Magi explaining how they follow the star in the way that society views following, maybe they would say something like, yeah, I just sit here and I keep checking in on that star every now and again. And yeah, it's going in that general direction, keeps getting further away. It's very pretty. It's a nice star, but I'm struggling to see it now while I sit here. Or maybe the Christian view of following. The Magi would say something like, yeah, I saw that star, and now I believe that it exists. That star is real. But it's moved away now, and I don't know where it's gone, but I still believe in it, and I've accepted it as my Lord and Saviour. Do the Magi do this? No, of course they don't. They actually follow the star. They choose to act, and they choose to put one foot or one hoof in front of the other. To truly follow someone requires active participation. To follow it's a verb, it's an action. It's not something that you just believe. It's something that you do. I was listening to a podcast recently where the guy was talking about hope. He was talking about how we often think of hope as something that you either have or you don't have. Maybe in the context of England last night. I don't know how many of us had hope there or not. Not a lot of point to that one. but we often talk about hope in a way that is quite passive at times. And the guy was talking about how hope is actually much more powerful when we talk about it as something that we do, when hope is something that we embody. We can often feel disillusioned by the world around us, can't we? We can feel despair at what's happening. The war in Ukraine, the climate crisis, the cost of living. And we can end up disassociating ourselves from our connection to it all. We think that it's something happening to us, and perhaps forget about the parts that we can still play in it. We can do our bit in caring for the environment. We can do our bit in supporting Ukrainian refugees or other asylum seekers. We can help those around us who are struggling with the cost of living. And in doing this, we're not simply hoping that things get better, but actually in doing things like that, we are embodying hope. We are living out hope. There's a wonderful verse in 1 Peter that says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, Jesus is our living hope. We are called to live out that hope. And that's the same with seeking to follow Jesus as well. We are called to live it out. We are called to act on our faith and to choose to participate. And it's like with love as well. We can say that we love someone. I can say that I love Hannah. But actually, if I just keep telling Hannah that I love her and then I'm not doing anything in my actions to show that I love her, then she's probably going to think that I don't really love her that much. Actually, if you truly love someone, it's about embodying that love and not just saying it, but actually living it out as well and showing that love. We have the challenging passage where Jesus, after he's been resurrected, and he talks to Peter on the beach after they've had breakfast together. And he says to Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes." And Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." Jesus is saying there, do something about it. You love me? Show me that love. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, it is really all about discipleship, about really seeking to live out that Jesus life, seeking to follow him. If we were to return to these verses again, I won't read through them all again, but there's some really hard verses in here. I mean, the first one alone is that Jesus talks about people denying themselves and taking up their cross and following him. Following Jesus is not easy, but actually we're called to imitate him. We are called to read about him, to hear about him, and to seek to live out his words and his actions. And finally, we've talked about being receptive. We've talked about, I've just lost it now, we've talked about active participation. And it's also what we take from this story about the Magi. It's about the journey. The Magi, they are estimated to have travelled perhaps between 600 to 900 miles, which would have taken them at least a month. But actually, we don't know, with them tracking the star and the pace they were guided at, it could have taken months for them. So you wonder, how much did that journey shape those Magi? Not actually just the destination, but the journey that they embarked on as well, when they decided to have that active participation in seeking to follow that star. How did the journey impact them on them as well? The journey is just so important as well as the destination. I'm going to close with some words from Frank Turner, who is not someone you would expect to be sharing from the front of church. I don't think he would proclaim himself as a Christian, but he does really interestingly have a song called The Journey of the Magi. And there's some really powerful words in it, where in the last verse, he sings, "Now Balthazar rode for 7 long years. Eastwards and far, he followed his star, and it brought him here. To a stable in ruins in some backwater town, to a virgin defiled, no king but a child, too small for a crown." He sang, "I could have lived with my gods as a Persian prince. I could have played safe. But in the end, journeys brought joys that outweigh the pain." And he closes with, "Paupers and kings, princes and thieves, singers of songs, writers of wrongs, be what you believe. Saddle your horse, shoulder your load, burst at the seams, be what you dream, and then take to the road." There's some really powerful words in that, where he's singing about the value of the journey and not just the destination as well, and that to be what you believe, to embody what you believe. And that's what we're called to do when we're called to follow Jesus, is to actually embody that, not simply just believe it, but actually to live it out as well. I'm just going to invite the band up now, and as I begin to draw this to a close. So we've got three themes to reflect on there from this passage when we talk about what is required when we seek to follow Jesus. So we are called to be receptive. The Magi were already looking at the stars and they responded to the call. They were ready. How receptive are we? How receptive are the folks around us as well? How can we be encouraging them to hear what God has to say to them while seeking to hear what God has to say to us? And then in turn, how do we choose active participation? How do we choose to live out following Christ, to embody Christ? And then finally, to recognize that it's a journey, and then to embrace that journey too. I'm going to close with a prayer. Lord, we thank you for the journey that we are all on, the journey in seeking to follow you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you can help us to see what following you really looks like. Lord, please challenge us to not just sit and to simply believe, but actually to live out that belief, whatever that looks like for each of us. Lord, help us to be inspired by the words of Christ and the actions of Christ. Lord, may we be your hands and your feet in our communities. Lord, may we be receptive to what you have to say to us. And may we feel emboldened to share about you with others and to be encouraged by their receptivity too. Lord, we thank you for your unending love for us, your love, your grace, and your peace. And we just pray in this Christmas season that we can know that you are with us every step of the journey as we seek to follow you, Lord. Amen.